Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. Championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today, BYU defensive lineman Tyler Batty. Tyler, it is always good to see you. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
We got to see each other at Media Day. I'm going to ask you about Media Day coming up in just a few minutes, but I want to start here. The evolution of your hair is where I want to start with this. Because if you go back, look at the biopics on BYUCougars.com, much shorter hair. Now you're rocking a little bit longer hair. Any particular reason? Is it just to change it up? Do you have a preference? Do you like one or the other? What's the deal?
I like short hair. If it was up to me, I'd probably have my head buzzed. Honestly, I don't mind that look. My wife's not too fond of the buzzed look. She likes the longer hair. She initially asked me to grow it out for our wedding back in 2021, and so I did. So it was like when I joined up, it was short hair. Mm-hmm. Then like 2021, summer 2021, it was long hair. But then 2021 season, I buzzed it right after the wedding. That was my deal. I was like, I'll grow it out for the wedding, but I get to buzz it for the season. So I actually made her do it, buzzed it for the season. And then, yeah, it's just kind of been growing back out. And so, yeah, she likes it. So here we are.
So you made her buzz your hair, knowing how much she didn't want to be doing this.
Yeah, that was part of the deal. That was part of the deal.
All right. So the next question I was going to ask you is, how does your wife feel about it? We clearly know about that. I want to go through your process. You decided to come back. You had opportunities to go to the next level, and you could have left BYU. You chose to come back for another year. I want to know what that experience was like for you to go through. Was it a difficult experience at the time?
Yeah, honestly, that was, I would say, probably one of the most difficult things I've had to do up to this point in my life, was making that decision. Because kind of for me, that was the plan, right? I've spent quite a bit of time here at BYU, you know what I mean? I came home off a mission in 2019. I decided to gray shirt. So gray shirting, I'm not technically on the team, but I was just working out, getting ready for football. So I didn't play at all in 2019, joined the team in 2020. And then, had been with the team for four seasons, right? And so, my plan was to leave, right? And to kind of take my shot in the NFL. As we kind of wrapped up that season last year, it was really difficult. We finished that Oklahoma State game, which was heart wrenching. It was gut wrenching. It was really difficult, right? And to end the season on that note, especially as we had came close so many times, and it was really frustrating. And as I got on the bus, after. As we were leaving the stadium, I just kind of felt a note of finality, and I was like, all right, like that, maybe I think that's it. Like, I think college is done for me. Got on the plane, and that was its own experience, kind of going through that and being like, oh, I think I may be done with college football. And then over like the next 4 days, it was the longest 4 days of I'm not kidding. It was like the longest 4 days of my life, just going back and forth. Sunday, woke up Sunday, and I was like, yeah, I think that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna stick to the plan. We're gonna leave. Then Monday, it was like, what if we did come back? And then Monday evening, it was like, no, we're gonna leave. And then Tuesday morning, it was like, no, we're going to stay. And then Tuesday evening was like, no, we're going to leave. It's just like
back and forth,
just back and forth all day long. And it was just exhausting. Trying to make that decision. At the end of the day, what it really came down to is I just felt like we had unfinished business at the end of the day. I've been able to enjoy some really good success during my time here at BYU as a team, right? We've had some awesome games and some incredible seasons. And after we finished last season, right, that was one of the returning factors. Was just like, man, we left so much on the table, and I felt like we underperformed in such a big way. that I didn't want to leave, right? If I had a say in how I went out, like, I don't want that to be it, you know, 5-7. I just felt like there was so much left in the tank. You know what I mean? There really was to come back and be like, no, like, we are such a better team than this, and I want to show that. You know what I mean? And so that really was, you know, one of the biggest factors. And so kind of when I decided, that was it. It was like, all right, now we are, you know, back and forth for a couple days, and then it was like, no, we're coming back. And so once I decided, I started calling all the guys, you know what I mean, and trying to rally the troops. And just because at that point it was like, no, like, we need to, you know, we need to come back, and we need to make it worth our while and show people what we're capable of, and really who BYU is. I didn't feel like last season we were able to show people, especially in our first season in the Big 12, really who BYU was as a football program. And so, yeah, that's the majority of, you know, what brought me back.
When you make a decision like that, and you said when we made the decision, I'm certainly going to assume you're talking about you and your wife, certainly being that, but who else is in your inner circle? Who do you reach out to when you're making that decision? Who do you look for input from, or do you? Do you try and keep that as small as possible?
I do try to keep it as small as possible. And, you know, it's a little tricky because there's a lot of people that I trust that also have a horse in the race. You know what I mean? Like, I go to Coach Kalani and I'm like, Coach, like, should I leave her or should I come back? And, of course, Kalani's going to be like, well, come back, you idiot. Like, you know what I mean? Same thing with, you know, Kelly. No, and those guys, you know, I talked with Kalani and with Coach Papinga and with Jay and I talked with all of them and kind of talked through it, and they were all awesome and just super supportive of me. You know, whether I decided to come back or whether I decided, you know, to take my opportunities, you know, to maybe go play professional, and they were all super supportive either way. And we're like, hey, we'd love to have you back. At the same time, we know that you've got a life to live. And so they were all awesome. You know, Jan Jorgensen, he's been huge having him here. I was really bummed that we lost him, but, you know, Jan as well, you know, sitting down and talking with Jan and
hanging,
you know,
out with Bronco now.
Yeah, back with Bronco. Yeah, back with Bronco down there in New Mexico. But yeah, talking with him and just, you know, kind of, he gave me some really good advice. You know, Brady, Kelly's brother, you know, I also got to talk with him, and just, I got a lot of, I'm really fortunate to have a lot of mentors. You know, Ty Mattingly, who played back here in the day as well, he's been really, he's really been an awesome mentor. And so I talked with a lot of these guys, and I'm just like, look, yeah, give me some feedback, you know what I mean? And so that definitely, you know, influenced that decision and helped me gain a little bit of perspective. You know, when you're in the moment and, you know, you have this plan and you want to go with, you know, this set plan that you've had, and, you know, to kind of make a change halfway through the plan, if you will, and be like, actually, you know, you're going to leave and be done with college, but now you're coming back for a whole nother year. And it's in the moment, it seems like, you know, it's kind of like a mission, right? Yeah. When you go to serve a mission, like, in the moment, that was like 2 years. That's a massive amount of time. In the grand scheme of things, is it that much time? Not really. You know, and so it helped, you know, talking with those guys. They were all awesome and had great feedback for me, and just different points of like, hey, you know, take a deep breath, chill out, and go ahead and make the best decision, you know, that you feel best for you. And so, yeah, those guys are all incredible, and I'm really grateful to have them in my life.
How much did your faith play into making this decision? And I'm going to assume there's probably quite a bit of prayer going on during that time to find out what you felt was probably the best thing for you. What role did your faith play in this decision, whether you were to go or to stay?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. At the end of the day, you know, I think that I'm a firm believer in that we can control our own destiny. I'm a very firm believer in that. I don't think there is a preset plan for us in this life. I think there's maybe specific things that we're meant to accomplish. And, you know, if we are living the way we're supposed to be, we'll be able to do those things. At the same time, a lot of what we're able to accomplish in life comes down to us, you know what I mean? And our sacrifice and diligence and, like you said, faithfulness and belief in ourself and in God, you know? And so at the end of the day, I think for me, I was like, I think I can make it work both ways. you know, I think if I left, you know, I think things would work out. And I think if I stayed, I think things would work out. And that's what was so difficult is it wasn't clear cut. It was, I can leave and be okay, and I can stay and be okay.
Yeah, you weren't getting a strong feeling one way or the other. You feel like you could be successful both directions.
Exactly. And that was so frustrating because I was just like, you know, you're looking for a clear cut answer. It's like, oh, well, you go to the NFL and you fail, or you stay and you fail. You know what I mean? Like it's, but there wasn't a clear cut answer. And so that's what made deciding so difficult. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, just again, being back with the boys for another year and just taking advantage of that. And that's another thing, you know, a little bit more perspective is you never get that back. You know what I mean? You never get that back. Like you don't get once you leave, you don't get to come back and play another year, you know, with guys that really are some of your best friends, you know what I mean? Like, and they may not start out that way. I've had a ton of teammates, right? That's how it goes. It's like, you may hate them when you first meet them, but after you go through so much together and you sacrifice so much together, those are some of the dudes that you have the best relationships with. And so to be able to enjoy that and have that for another year, you know, I think that was one of those opportunities you never know where life's going to go, right? You're able to, you know, you're able to determine your destiny to a certain degree, but sometimes life just has its right. Yep. Things just get in the way. Things come up and you never know. And so that was another, you know, good eye opener for me just to, again, gain some more perspective and just be like, don't waste this time.
Every game, every season as a whole, it's all a learning experience. Last year was the first year in the Big 12. What did you learn about you and this team and maybe this conference from last year that you're using now heading into year two?
Yeah, I think we knew it to a degree, right? Like, you've got to bring your A game week in, week out. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? We can go, and we saw it. We saw it. How about this? Just to be frank, I mean, the stats don't lie. The numbers are there. This isn't a secret. We went out and competed with the best teams in the conference. You know what I mean? We really did. Oklahoma State, Texas even. You look at the halftime, you look at end of the third quarter, it's not like we were completely out of that game. We went in and we competed with the top teams in the conference.
Had a lead at Kansas.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. And then we had massive losses to TCU, West Virginia, Iowa State. You know what I mean? And so we knew that going into the season last year of like, you know, you got to bring your A game every week. And it's like, no, you've got to bring your A game every week. If you don't, you can easily have a 40-point loss to any given team on any given weekend. That's why I love the Big 12. And it really is, I would say, it's top to bottom, it's one of the most competitive. I would say it is the most competitive conference in now Power 4 football, because that's how things can go. You can be on, you know, you can be on top of the mountain one week, and on the next week you're in the valley. You know, so it's exciting. But that's a big lesson I think we learned of just like, hey, you've got to be really deliberate in your preparation and really ready to rock and roll every single week so that you don't have hiccups, right? If you want to be a great team in the Big 12, you have to be the most consistent, and that is the hardest attribute to acquire individually or as a team, right? I mean, it's really hard. You look at the greatest teams all times, and what were they? Consistent. Consistent week in, week out, whether it was offensively, defensively. And so that consistency is something that, you know, we have really worked on this offseason.
And something else, obviously, that's part of preseason and getting ready for a year is the preseason media poll. And you guys were picked 13th. I know that doesn't sit well with you guys. I've talked with you about it. I've talked with your teammates about it. You guys believe that you are better than what you are being predicted to finish. My question to you is, how much more do you feel you need to do to earn the respect of the conference?
A lot. At the end of the day, I mean, you can't, let's not sugarcoat it, right? I mean, we went 5-7. That's not great. You're new to the conference. There's a lot of people that didn't believe that you belonged in the conference. And so for us, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. But again, that's one of the reasons that brought me back is I don't feel like we displayed who BYU football is last year. And I think that we fit and match up perfectly against any of these teams, right, in the Big 12. And so that's what I'm really excited for, and I know a lot of guys are excited for that, to be able to show people who BYU is and who BYU football is and really give them a taste of who we are.
What gets you most excited about? Is it the opportunity to do that, to showcase what you guys believe is the real BYU? Is that what really invigorates you for the 24 season?
I just want to play football. I just love playing football.
Yeah, let's just get it right to the bare bones. I just want to play football.
And what I think is incredible is that's not just me. That's every dude in our locker room. I think that's also very unique is every dude in our locker room, they just love football. Like they just want to play ball, right? At the end of the day. And yeah, of course, like that idea of introducing people to who we really are, you know what I mean? When we're not, you know, maybe in a down year, but who BYU really is and who we've been for the past decade, you know what I mean? That team who can compete at the highest level, you know what I mean? That's who we want to show people. And so there definitely is some motivation coming from that.
You mentioned, you know, you've been in this program for a while and you've been part of different teams that had different personalities and different team cultures. How has the program evolved throughout your tenure at BYU?
That's a great question. I have been around for a while, you know, maybe overextended my stay, but, I think we have one. I think year by year, our team has become more diverse, right? We have a lot of homegrown talent, which is incredible, and I love that, right? I think, you know, I'm from Utah, born and raised. I'm very happy to you know, claim that and have that. And we have a lot of guys on our team that are the same way, right? You know, I'd say half our team, right? We have how many guys that we sent to the NFL in the past few years that are from Utah, you know what I mean, that were – played high school ball, grew up here, played high school ball here, played ball here at BYU, and now we're playing in the NFL. I think that's incredible. On the other, you know, side of that is each year our team has become more diverse, right? More talent from all across the United States and outside the United States. You know what I mean? Whether it's guys from Canada or France, you know, with Terrence Fall here for a couple years, you know, from France, whether, you know, where that diversity will continue to come from, I don't know, but I think it's really cool because I think it's a very unique locker room. You know what I mean? I've talked to guys, you know, at a variety of different universities, you know, whether on the East Coast or West Coast, and typically, you know, their locker rooms are dominated by guys from Florida, you know what I mean? Or guys from Alabama or guys from Texas, you know what I mean? Where we legit have guys from all over. And so I think that's been cool. And, you know, I'm really grateful for the teams that have preceded this, you know, for the leaders that we've had, for the guys that we've had in those locker rooms that have helped shape, you know, BYU football. We're standing on their shoulders, man, and there's a lot to be grateful for. You know, I've also been very blessed to see the sacrifices that other guys who never got the limelight, you know what I mean? They never got the limelight, whether they're offensive or defensive linemen or linebackers or safeties or tight ends or running backs or fullbacks, that never really got the limelight, that never really got the praise. But, like, we are standing on their shoulders and their sacrifices. And so shout out to y'all. Super grateful for you guys, seriously. Super grateful for the teams that I've been a part of.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to know Tyler a little bit more personally. We'll talk about his upbringing and some of his passions. We'll do that as the Deep Blue Podcast continues on BYU Radio. Hey, everyone. Jason Shepherd here to talk about one of our other great podcasts on BYU Radio, Her Why. It's all BYU women's athletics all the time. The podcast is hosted by my colleague, Lauren McLean. She interviews coaches like Heather Olmstead, BYU athletes like basketball's Amari Whiting, and legends like soccer star Ashley Hatch. You'll hear stories of triumph, trials, and toughness. If you're a big Cougar fan, you should check out the Her Why podcast on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast here on BYU Radio. I'm your host, Jason Shepherd. Happy to have my guest, Tyler Batty, joining me today. And we talked a lot of football previously. Let's get to know you a little bit better. And one thing, we're going to talk about your upbringing in a second. But one thing I wanted to ask about, I remember interviewing you for pregame for football, and I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, And one of the personality questions I asked was the car that you would buy, and you had a very specific answer. So are you a big car guy?
I am. Yeah, I am a big car guy. I really enjoy cars in general. I'm an Audi guy.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was an Audi. Yeah. That's right.
I'm an Audi guy overall. I have a couple of them, just, you know, some beaters that I like to tinker with in my free time.
All right, let's talk about little Tyler Batty growing up. You mentioned you're from Utah, you're from Payson. How many siblings? What was your family dynamic? Talk to me about life growing up in the Batty household.
Yeah, so I born and raised in Payson. My parents have been there for 30 plus years. That's kind of where they settled down to raise their family. I'm the youngest of seven kids. So two brothers, four sisters. It goes sister, brother, and then three sisters, and then my brother Clayton, and then me. So
what's luckily, the age gap between the oldest and you?
17 years. Oh, wow. 17 years, I believe. Yeah, so my sister Rochelle was pretty much like graduating high school when I was born. There's a five-year age gap between me and my brother Clayton. Mm-hmm. So I joke about it. I was an accident baby. let's just, you know, let's just keep it real. You know, 5 years, it's kind of a long time. You know, most people, it's like, you know, 2 year, 3 year. Once you get to five, it's kind of like, oopsie. but you know, I love family. Growing up, my dad, he grew up in Linden on a farm. My mom grew up back east in Pennsylvania, also on a farm. And so I grew up in technically Spring Lake, just there between Payson and Santaquin, in Spring Lake on a farm as well. And so I loved growing up in Spring Lake. I loved growing up in the you know, South County. It's kind of the perfect mix of, you know, a little bit slower life. Kind of, I can go out and get in trouble and do stupid stuff without getting in too much trouble. You know what I mean? You know, but being close enough to Provo and Salt Lake, you know, that's really nice. But we're big on family. You know, I love my family. We're a really tight knit family. You know, far from perfect, you know, yeah. like any family, and any family barbecue or family gathering will probably end up in some sort of confrontation, you know what I mean? Whether physical, you know, we just love spending time with family, and we're all competitive, so, you know, that can lead to some of that confrontation, you know what I mean? Whether it's volleyball or whatever we're playing in the backyard. But yeah, I loved growing up in Payson and loved being part of a big family.
Was sports a part of your life as far back as you can remember, or was there a time where you kind of got into it?
Yeah, no, sports was definitely always part of my life, I would say. Growing up, my dad didn't, you know, really play too much sports. Grew up on a farm for the most part, right? And so there, you know, there was there. If you have spare time, man, there's things to be done. So there wasn't a whole lot of time for sports, you know. My mom did, you know, run track and do some different stuff, growing up and through high school. My siblings, everyone played sports for the most part, you know, growing up, we all, you know, little league, high school, whether it was basketball, volleyball, football. Both my brothers played football for a couple of years. Sisters played, you know, volleyball, basketball, soccer, you know, but no one really pursued it. We didn't grow up watching sports either. You know what I mean? We weren't a big Super Bowl family growing up. Like, we really didn't watch a ton of sports. We spent a ton of time outdoors, right? So my dad's a big cowboy. And so we spent a ton of time, you know, especially in the summer, camping, you know, fishing, farming, right? You know, hauling hay and whatnot. And so we spent just a ton of time outdoors in general. So in the winter, we'd like watch movies, but that was realistically about it, you know? But yeah, so just didn't grow up watching sports, and it wasn't until, you know, I was like junior high school that it was like, oh yeah, let's go, you know, I'll get together with my buddies and we'll watch, you know, the national championship game or the NBA finals or stuff like that.
When did you realize then that you were going to have an opportunity to pursue sports as something at the next level? If for only at that time, maybe for education to be able to play, but now the fact that you're going to be able to make some money doing this and this can be your life. At what point did you realize all this was kind of possible for you?
To be honest, I think that was like a day one plan. It was like, so I always tell this story just because it illustrates how obsessed I was with football when I was a little kid. And again, we didn't watch football, but I just grew up playing it and I freaking loved it. So like my mom, everyone in my family had to take music lessons, like piano lessons, right? Like that was, you know, pretty typical for a Utah family, a big Utah family, you know, it's pretty typical. Everybody has to take piano lessons. So everyone did. And of course, me being the youngest, I will admit, you know, I was a little spoiled in some aspects, you know, dude, you're the youngest. That's just how it goes. But I was probably the only child that pretty much got away with not getting piano lessons past the age of like 10.
Your siblings probably don't like that fact.
Oh no, they know it's just a fact. It's just a fact of life. I don't think they do, but I like would just throw tantrums. I was just like, I hated playing the piano, right? And you know, I kind of regret that I didn't learn more. I can still manage, you know, I play the piano a little bit on my mission, and so there's, you know, I can manage a little bit. You know, it takes me a second to get it back, but I just threw this just massive tantrum. I was just like, I don't want to do this. I'm done with piano. I don't want to go to piano lessons. I don't want to practice piano. I just want to play football. Yeah. Like that was just my whole thing. I was like, I just want to play football. So I think like from the age that I realized that like I could play football and that could be my like career, like someone's going to pay me as an adult to go play football. I think from like day one, I was like, I'm in. Like you got me. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like there's just, yeah, I just loved it from day one. And so that was just kind of the plan. And growing up, again, Payson's not super competitive in football. You know, we had, you know, Little League, it's fun. Junior high, again, you know, Salem, Spanish, mm-hmm. Springville, you know, competing with all those guys. It was, you know, junior high when it was like my, you know, eighth, ninth grade when I was like, okay, like now it's time to get ready for the next step. It's like, I'm going to play high school ball, but, you know, there's a step, college, and then the NFL. So what am I going to do to get ready to make that jump?
When was BYU in the mix? Was that always your dream school? Did you guys grow up a BYU family growing up so close to Provo? How did you get to BYU?
Yeah, so I was I had a few siblings graduate from BYU. My mom and dad both did a little bit of college here back in the day. But of course, being a rebel, you know, teenage rebel, I was like, man, I hate BYU. I had to go there for all my merit badge camps. I don't want to go to BYU. You know what I mean? So BYU necessarily wasn't at the top of my list. And I also tell, you know, this story as well, just because like I love Coach Elisa Tuiaki and Coach Kalani, and they were. I'm really grateful that that they recruited me as hard as they did, because I kind of got some colleges involved after my junior season of high school football, right? So freshman year, I really started prepping. I actually had a head injury freshman year, didn't play my freshman year of high school, but, you know, continued to train, got ready sophomore, junior, senior year. After my junior year of college, or excuse me, my junior year of high school, Hawaii was the first one to offer me. They were the first Division I FBS offer that came in. Them, and then throughout the summer, you know, kind of everybody else came in, BYU, Utah, Boise, et cetera, extra, some more schools in the pack, right? And when BYU offered, I was just like, I'm not – it was kind of that thing. It was like we were close enough to BYU that I wanted something a little bit more exciting. Yeah. I was like, I've been to BYU. You know what I mean? I've had siblings graduate from there. I've been around the campus. I've walked around the campus. I kind of know BYU, so I wasn't necessarily – you know, intrigued or interested in BYU. And so, you know, I remember a conversation I had with Coach Tuiaki when he was recruiting me. I was just like, look, I'm just not really interested. Like, it's just, it's BYU. I'm not, you know, not really interested, you know? And so, while I was on my mission, I actually wrote him a note and apologized. I wrote him a letter because I was like, I'm so sorry for just being a prideful, like little freaking 18-year-old and telling you that I wasn't interested. But I was just so grateful for them because they just kept coming. They're like, no, like come to BYU, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I was getting recruited by some other schools and eventually, you know, I sat down with Coach Satake and Coach Tuiaki, and they were just like, hey, we really want you here. And they just kind of laid out the vision. You know, Kalani just kind of laid out the vision that he had for BYU and where it was headed. And it was at that moment that I was like, oh, I can get behind that. Like that vision, I can get behind that, and I felt really good about it. And you know, when I decided to serve a mission, that was a whole nother factor. Because mm-hmm. then it was like, oh, I'm going to be gone, probably out of the country for 2 years.
And you ended up going to Spain, correct?
And I did, yeah. I ended up going to Spain for 2 years, and so I was out of the country for 2 years. Love Spain, great time. But I figured, like, when I come home, family's everything, like, really is. And so I was like, I'm going to want to be – if I have an opportunity to be close to family and make it easier for them to come to games and just being close to family, I was like, that – I'm not going to want to get home after being – out of the country for 2 years and not seeing them, and then a month later fly out to a fall camp on the East Coast or in Hawaii, or and so that's when it kind of came down to Utah and BYU, and that's when I really decided on BYU, and I was just like, no, I love where the program's going, and Kalani sold me.
There you go. Well, there's one more thing that I want to touch on before we wrap things up, and you've talked a lot about growing up on a farm and how, you know, you grew up a cowboy and your dad was a cowboy. And so I know that horses and those types of things play a big role in your life, not just recreationally, but you've done something really, really cool. And you started a foundation called Edward's Hands. Tell everybody what that is and why that was important for you.
Yeah, so Edward's Hands is our nonprofit. We do free equine therapy. Whether it's to, you know, we start out with people with special needs, and we've slowly started expanding into the veteran community. But at the heart of it is realistically my dad, and he's been doing it for years, you know, and just would have, you know, family friends over if they had, you know, a child, you know, with a disability, you know, he'd just bring him over, let's put him on a horse. And so as the years have gone on, right, there's been a ton of studies done on just the benefits of equine therapy and what that can do for everyone, not just, you know, people with special needs, but that interaction with animals, specifically horses, is huge. When Coach Ed Lamb was here, his son Edward, who has special needs, they would come down to the farm and they'd come ride, especially during COVID, right? We had that massive COVID break, and it was like, well, you know, there's not a whole lot to do, but on the farm things kind of operated. So we had him down, and you know, Coach Lamb would come down with his son, and we'd ride, and over that year and a half, just the progress that we all saw from Edward, and we had seen it, you know, especially my dad had seen it with children in the past, right, that we had over, I mean, doubled his vocabulary, and just like his cognitive function was so markedly improved. It was just like, man, we're missing out on doing more here, right? My dad had done a ton, you know, up to that point, and it served a ton of people, but it was like, we can take that and we can make it bigger. And so Edward was really the inspiration for that. And so me and two teammates, Austin Riggs and Drew Jensen, sat down and were like, all right, hey, let's make this thing happen. And so we did. And so we founded Edward's Hands, and you know, we're growing slowly, and we have, but things are really, you know, on the uptick. We're getting to the point where, you know, we kind of almost have more rides than we can handle. So, hey, if you're interested in getting involved in Edward's Hands equine therapy, let me know, and let's talk.
I had the opportunity on multiple occasions to talk with Coach Lamb about this situation and what it has meant, not just for Edward, but for the Lamb family and what it has done for them in general. What does that mean to you to be a part of something like this that gives such relief to families in need?
You know, it was meaningful enough to me that it was like, we got to do more of it. You know what I mean? It was like that. It did. It, you know, it changed. It has changed their lives. How about this? It's changed their lives forever. You know, the Lambs now have horses of their own. You know what I mean? And they ride with Edward every single day. And just, it's given their whole family an outlet. Edward loves riding, and it's done so much for his personal progress that it really came down to the thought of just like, how can we not do this for more people? You know what I mean? Just the progress we saw and the benefit. And so, yeah, it was meaningful enough for us involved that we're like, hey, we got to do this over and over and over again. And there's a massively underserved need for it. That was another thing, is there's just so many people out there that don't have the opportunity for that. And so that was the driving force behind it.
Tyler, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I always enjoy talking to you. And one of the other things that I love, and I know this is sort of a media thing, but you get inundated with requests to do media all the time, interviews, TV, radio, all of it. And I'm not sure that, at least with me, that you've ever said no. Anytime I've needed you, I've always been able to get you. And I want you to know how much I appreciate that. And I think fans appreciate being able to hear from you. So thank you so much for that. But also thanks for taking a few minutes today and talking some football, but also letting people get to know you a little bit more personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Thanks once again to my guest, Tyler Batty. My name is Jason Shepherd. Josh Bergstrom and Ben Hall produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.